Welcome to Goodwill Judging. My name is William Kennedy, and over the last 30 years, I've been a judge in the courts of the English criminal justice system. This podcast chronicles many of the remarkable things I've seen and learned. The cases, the people, the obscure parts of the law. Come with me as I uncover and divulge some of the most bizarre, tragic, and darkly humorous moments of my career. And remember, the law, like the citizens it aims to protect, never ceases to surprise. Hello and welcome to the first episode of Goodwill Judging. I'm here with my son Thomas, and over the next few podcasts, we'll be telling you some of the stories of life as a criminal judge over the last 30 years. You'll hear extraordinary cases, extraordinary people, and extraordinary things that will make you stop and think.
Well, what a way to begin. I'm very excited about it. I mean, I've been hearing these stories for as long as I can remember. You coming home from work, complaining about a golf match that you'd lost or a snooker game that had gone down the tubes, but then hearing all of these amazing stories growing up, and I'm really excited to share them with everyone. So that's brilliant. So, as you were saying, each episode we're going to be sort of focusing either on a person that you've met in your career or an interesting case or explaining an obscure part of the law, like the time when I came to see you at the court and you told me to use a different name. Would you care to explain on that?
I thought it probably was a good idea that nobody knew that you and I were connected in case you misbehaved.
Okay, right. Well, let's just assume that it was, pretend that it was for protection against, anyway. But anyway, moving on. I think this episode, what we'll do is we'll focus on one of the most interesting cases that springs to mind, just to give people a flavour of what they're going to be listening to over the next few podcasts. Is there anything that immediately springs to mind, Willie, that you want to talk about?
Well, obviously, I've been thinking about it. And in fact, this isn't the most interesting case of all, but it's probably one of the most interesting people that I met connected with the case. This man wasn't even the defendant. This was about, 15 years ago. Mr. C, I'll call him Mr. C because that's the easiest way of doing it, was a man who appeared before me charged with causing grievous bodily harm with intent. What was said about him was that he'd attacked another man with a baseball bat, and as he did so, he broke the man's nose and his fingers and caused him serious concussion. He hadn't been in trouble before, and it was a little hard to understand what had possessed him to behave in that way. Mr. C was charged with causing grievous bodily harm with intent, and it was quite clear, and he admitted it, that he'd attacked the victim, who I'll call Mr. Wobley. He tried to say that Mr. Wobley, in fact, had attacked him, and that all the injuries were inflicted in self-defence. But the jury heard from Mr. Wobley first. Now, Mr. Wobley was a remarkable man. He was tall, he was black, he was magnificently dressed, he was a very handsome man, with the sole exception of a rather battered nose, but he was obviously a man well-educated who spoke extremely well. He explained that, quite simply, he'd done a small amount of business with Mr. C. He wasn't asked by Mr. C's counsel about the nature of that business, but what happened then was that Mr. C met him later and attacked him with a baseball bat, causing the injuries that I have described.
So quite a lot in the middle that was missing.
Yes. Well, I didn't know it was missing. Mr. C went into the witness box when his turn came and gave evidence, simply saying that he'd fallen out with Mr. Wobley. He didn't tell the jury why or what he'd done with Mr. Wobley, but he said that Mr. Wobley had attacked him. The jury rejected that. The evidence was overwhelming against Mr. C, and he was convicted of causing grievous bodily harm with intent. Bearing in mind that he had no previous convictions, I sentenced him to 4 years imprisonment.
Of which you'd think he would serve how many?
He would have served half of that.
For good behaviour?
No, because you only ever serve a half. Well, it's a little more complicated than that, but generally speaking, you serve half of the sentence that was imposed. Ordinarily, that would have been that, and I'd never have thought about it again. But about 6 months later, I met the counsel who'd appeared from Mr. C and chatted to him socially. And he said to me, "Judge, can I tell you the true story?" "Ooh," I said, "well, I'd be very interested to hear it." And the story was this. Mr. Wobley went to the corner shop that Mr. C owned, turned up one morning and said to Mr. C that he had a business prospect that he thought would appeal to Mr. C. He was, as I've said, was Mr. Wobley, a very smart, very well-dressed, very well-spoken man, and he was carrying the most magnificent stainless steel briefcase. Mr. C was fascinated by this possible prospect and said, "Well, can you tell me what it is?" Mr. Wobley opened the briefcase, and inside were a number of knobs and buttons and lights. And Mr. Wobley took from his wallet a piece of paper that was the size of a £50 note, as we discovered, and said to Mr. C, "Watch this." He put the piece of paper into a slot in the side of the briefcase, pushed some buttons, turned some knobs, and a noise like movement within the case occurred. Well, there was indeed movement, because out of the slot on the opposite side of the case came a £50 note.
No way.
Well, Mr. C looked at this, he held it up to the light, looked at it and said, "That's a proper £50 note." "Yes," said Mr. Wobley, "that is right. That is what this machine does." Mr. C said, "Well, can you make more of these?" "Well," said Mr. Wobley, "I can, of course. The most I think I could probably make would be about £50,000 worth, but it's very expensive to run because of some very complicated chemicals. But if you could give me £10,000 of the chemicals and £5 of my troll, £15,000, I would be able to give you £50,000 worth."
A good deal, if ever I heard one.
Well, Mr. C, of course, thought the same. He couldn't resist it. He said, "Can you do it again?" Mr. Wary said, "Of course I can." Got from his pocket another piece of paper, put it in the slot on the side of the case, pushed the buttons, turned the knobs, lots of whirring, out came another £50 note. Mr. C held it up. It was a perfect £50 note. "How can we do this?" said Mr. C. "What do you need?" "Well, I need the £15,000 to buy the chemicals. But if you're happy with it, I'll come back this evening and you can give me £15,000. I'll go off and buy the chemicals and I'll come back tomorrow with the £50,000. "Of course," said Mr. C. "That's fantastic. I've got some money upstairs and my relatives will help out. Yes, come back this evening." Well, of course, Mr. Wobley came back that evening and was handed £15,000 by a very excited Mr. Chowdhury. "Mr. C," he said, "keep these £50 notes. You'll be able to show your family." The following morning, Mr. C was overcome with excitement. He was waiting for Mr. Wobley to return as promised at 11 o'clock. 11 came, 12 came, and there was no sign of Mr. Wobley at all. Mr. C tried the telephone number that Mr. Wobley had given him. The number was disconnected. And Mr. C eventually realized that he had been had. Mr. Wobley, unfortunately, for reasons I'll explain in a moment, hadn't gone far enough. But Mr. C, if you think about it, was in somewhat of a difficulty. What could he do? He couldn't go to the police and say, "Excuse me, but I've been involved in a conspiracy to produce forged £50 notes, and my co-conspirators run off with my money." In fact, there was absolutely nothing that Mr. C could do without getting himself into rather more trouble.
Can I ask, what would have been the sort of sentence possibility of being involved in fraud like that?
Well, if he'd actually been able to produce, Mr. Wobley, of course, could not produce a £50 note in his life, depending on it. Counterfeiting of that amount of money like that would have seen him in prison for some years.
All right, so let's just have a quick recap. So Mr. Wobley turned up with his stainless steel case to Mr. C and has said, "Bish, bash, bosh, paper in, I can make £50 notes." Mr. C, over the moon, is then told, "Oh, I can make you 50 grand if you give me 15 for the chemicals and five grand for myself." Mr. C, very happy, gets all the money from his friends, waits for Mr. Wobley to turn up the next day. He doesn't.
That's absolutely right. So Mr. C then wonders what on earth he can do. As I've said, he was somewhat constrained so far as reporting the matter to the police was concerned, and he had no means of getting hold of Mr. Wobbly. The only thing that he could do was to tell his mates, not the story, but to say that he and Mr. Wobbly had done business, and Mr. Wobbly was a wonderful man to do business with, and when Mr. Wobbly, if he contacted any of Mr. C's friends, they should let Mr. C know so that he could contact him again to do more business with him. Had Mr. Wobbly had any sense, he would have taken the £15,000, but unfortunately, greed overcame him. And he went to another shop about 10 miles away. And as you can imagine, by pure chance, the shopkeeper in that shop knew Mr. C. Mr. C had told his friends not to say anything to Mr. Wobbly about knowing Mr. C because Mr. C thought that he could do better business with Mr. Wobbly if he took him by surprise. So, Mr. C's friend telephoned to say that Mr. Wobbly was in his shop, that he was going to come back that evening, of course, to collect a similar sort of money from that already collected from Mr. C. But at the time that Mr. Wobbly turned up, there was Mr. C waiting at the door with the baseball bat. And the rest, as they say, is history. So, at the end of the story, Mr. C lost £15,000. He lost his liberty for 4 years. Mr. Wobbly gained £15,000. Of course, he had some slight injury, but as far as he was concerned, he was the victim in this case, was thanked by the court for his evidence, and left rejoicing. And that's why I remember Mr. Wobbly. I thought it was one of the most extraordinarily clever cons. Next week, I think what the listeners might be interested in is the very first case I ever did where I was absolutely certain that the defendant was going to be acquitted. As far as I was concerned, although I didn't, I think, make the mistake of summing it up in the hope of persuading the jury, I thought the facts would speak for themselves. But as you'll hear next time, that was not so.
Woohoo! What a cliffhanger. So that's a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. Take a look at the notes for a summary of the show and all the important links. And if you've liked this episode, I'd very much hope that you subscribe and share with whomever you think might also enjoy it. Should you wish it, please leave a rating and review as it helps other people discover the podcast. That's it for now, but I'll be back soon with more tales of goodwill judging.